The word of God comes to us this morning from Jeremiah 29, verses 4 through 14. Hear these words. This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says to all those I carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Build houses and settle down. Plant gardens and eat what they produce. Marry and have sons and daughters. Find wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage so that they too may have sons and daughters. Increase the number there. Do not decrease. Also seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. Yes, this is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. Do not let the prophets and diviners among you deceive you. Do not listen to the dreams you encourage them to have. They are prophesying lies to you in my name. I have not sent them, declares the Lord. This is what the Lord says. When 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will come to you and fulfill my good promise to bring you back to this place. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back from captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and places where I have banished you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back to the place from which I carried you into exile. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Carla. Upstairs, thank you. We've got a bunch of young guys running the AV booth today. Young guys, I would remind you that we got Bibles down here for you. If you're heading to high school, then don't forget to grab a Bible. You know who I left out of my little teacher, administrator, student thing? I left out retired teachers and administrators. So if you're a retired teacher or administrator, hand up. We celebrate you, you know. It's kind of like Veterans Day, right? Like, don't forget your veterans in the school system and what they've done. So we appreciate that. You know, I haven't said much, just a quick little update. You know, we were looking, you know, we've been doing the contemporary worship song. We've been doing the video there. You know, we're looking for a worship leader to step into that role that maybe plays, you know, preferably guitar, but maybe piano, keyboard, and that sings and that is familiar with contemporary worship stuff, but also some traditional worship stuff. Because you know, we've been doing this blended thing for a little bit, and we'll probably continue to. And so we advertised for that for a while on Facebook and tried to get the word out, and just had no responses. And so now I'm going to press into word of mouth this morning. And if you all can think of somebody or know somebody that might be interested in that role, and maybe someday we launch a contemporary worship service with that individual. Just keep us in mind as you talk to people, run into people, and lead them back to me if you think of somebody, or let me know. So tomorrow's a big day. Kids, teachers, you're heading back to school. You're stepping into that role again, doing that thing. Last week I took our daughter Alexis back to Kansas City, starting her second year of school at UMKC. Living downtown with a couple of gals, And so she's excited. My wife is just stumbling around the house, mumbling, "School's stupid. School's stupid." And that's how she deals with the fact that her best buddy has gone off to college and isn't around the house anymore. She doesn't actually think school is stupid. She just doesn't like that school takes her daughter away. So, of course, this weekend, guess where she is? Yeah, she's with her daughter. She's not at the lake. Right, that would. She's usually at the lake. You nailed that one. But she sacrificed the lake to go to Kansas City, sleep on our daughter's room floor to hang out with her and be there and to enjoy her. And so I hope they're having a good weekend. Now, I'm sure other parents, I've talked to some of you coming in today, some of you all have done the same thing. You have college students, you've taken your kids to college, and so you're adjusting, like us, to kind of a different household this week. A new school year is always an opportunity to start over, to start fresh. A new year to be a better version of yourself, to focus anew on some things you felt like you missed out the year before, like this didn't go so well. This year I want this to go better. And I really want to promote that mindset to our teachers and our kids right now. Like, teachers and kids, you have an opportunity to step into something new here. You do have power to start over at school in ways that you need to. To do some things differently, which means you're going to have to prioritize your life a little differently based upon your goals, set some different priorities. Different actions lead to different results. Just thinking it doesn't make it happen. You have to have different thoughts that lead to different actions and beliefs. Same actions as last year will lead you to the same results as last year. Right? You do the same as you did last year, it's going to same results. So don't get a new you. You don't get a new you without new you priorities each day. And our teachers, you all know this. Our teachers know this, and our teachers can see it when someone, one of their students, is really committed to a new start in the new school year, as opposed to just hoping for better results while doing the same actions. They can see that happening. They're like, nothing's really changed yet. And so this morning, I want to share with you how this works, how to get a new start. And I really just laid it out for you, but I'm going to explain it a little better. I'm going to unpack it. And I'll do this through our scripture from Jeremiah. I'm also going to do it through my last, big degree undertaking was my master's divinity, where I went away, seminary, preacher school, whatever you want to call it. And today won't just apply to students and teachers. And so today's for all of us. Because all of us at different points in life are going to need a new start. We're going to need to start anew. Some things you need to keep in mind to create the changes that you want to see in this new phase of your life. The first thing you can do to start over is to accept some of your limitations. You don't have to like them, nor do they have to be permanent limitations. But there's some things you just need to accept for the time being. Your limitations are today's challenges to either embrace or overcome, one or the other. And you need to make a decision as to which is it going to be, right? Are you going to embrace them and integrate them more fully into your life, these limitations that you have, and you're going to do that in order to live your best life today? Or will you make plans to overcome them? You're going to overcome these limitations. The prophet Jeremiah is offering a prophetic pep talk to the Israelites, right? He's like, here we go. The Israelites in Jerusalem, they've been conquered by the Babylonians. Home's been destroyed. And you need to pay a close attention to the pep talk that he gives. Jeremiah isn't giving them great news. He's not. I mean, even though it sounds like he is, he is basically telling them that they are not going to escape or leave Babylon and head back to Jerusalem for 70 years. This is where you're going to be for the next 70 years. And on top of that, he words it like this is God's will and judgment for them. It's their punishment. God made this thing so. And so the Babylonians are just God's chosen instrument to carry out this judgment upon them. That's all they are. And Jeremiah's telling them to embrace their current limitations. Like, embrace these limitations. It is God's punishment upon them for being a disobedient people. And they should ignore all the other prophets who are telling them they're going home soon. Because that's what they're doing. They're like, hey, it's okay. God's with us. We're going home soon. Jeremiah's like, no, you're not. Don't listen to them. They don't speak for God. I speak for God. And this is your new reality. You know, one of the hardest things we have to do in life is to make the hard decision to embrace something we don't really like. And sometimes that's the very thing that keeps us from starting over in life. Like, we just can't start over. Instead, we stay stuck in not accepting the current limitation. And we just focus on that limitation, and we let it ruin us day after day after day. It just ruins us. But if we could just kind of embrace it as a part of life, then we could begin to live life anew. We could have a new beginning, a new start. In order to become an elder in the United Methodist Church, I had to finish seminary. I was the type of guy 30 years ago, like, I didn't want to go to seminary. Just put your hand on me, Bishop, do the thing, make it so. But that's not how we do things in the Methodist Church. You've got, if you want to be an elder in the Methodist Church, you have to get your MDiv from somewhere. And so I did my Master's of Divinity work primarily out of Kentucky, Asbury Seminary. So I did a lot of work online as associate pastor. I was able to do, like, online for 5 years and go and visit the school and do short classes. But eventually, we had to bite the bullet. We had to move to Kentucky in order for me to finish my last year and a half of classes. I had to do them on campus. My daughter, Alexis, she was 4. She was starting kindergarten when we moved. Starting kindergarten. And my wife, Kim, she hadn't worked full-time. She had been kind of a mostly full-time mom, part-time gymnastics coach. And so she had to go back full-time for the first time in 4 years. And so she shifted between a number of bad jobs that she didn't like till she landed the least bad job that she didn't like with UPS, where she loaded trucks at 4 a.m. in the morning, which meant that she had to get up at 3:30 a.m. And she did it because they had the best health insurance for all of us. So we got great health insurance. I was working at Starbucks. I was making coffee and espresso drinks. Woo! Back then, I could drink it all night long and go to bed. You build up a tolerance when you abuse caffeine as much as I did. But I would oftentimes work, people getting coffee till 11 o'clock at night at the Starbucks I was at, right? So Kim and I worked these opposite shifts. Like, there were some nights where I was winding down about the time she was getting up. We lived in an apartment complex that the police visited often because our neighbors made poor life decisions often. That was what we could afford. That's where we had to live. And we were so poor when we lived there that we utilized food stamps and government assistance almost the whole time we were there. And I'll never forget taking my kindergarten-age daughter. One of the things I had to do is I had to take her to get blood work. In order to qualify for WIC and for groceries. And so I remember taking her, and they did this blood draw when she was 4 years old, and she just cried and screamed. And I went home feeling like the worst parent, the worst father ever. Look what I've done to my family. And I went home and told Kim, I'm like, hey, I don't know what we're going to do about groceries, you know, in 3 or 4 months, but I ain't doing that again. And that was just new daddy stuff I had to get over, but it was sad. It was sad. And so my last year and a half of seminary ended up being a sacrifice and a limitation for every single family member in my home. Alexis gave blood for it. Kim gave up sleep for it and was treated like a workhorse at UPS because she outperformed other people, and so they just kept giving her more to do. And I ate humble pie as I took orders from my 27-year-old store manager when I was in my 30s, and that was kind of my first experience of that. So it was the first time. And so we could have given up. We could have gone back to Missouri. We could have said, hey, this is just too hard. But instead, we learned to embrace the limitations that we were in, and we just got through it. Now, for us, it was a season of life we just had to endure. And we knew it. We just got to endure this. But for you, it may not be a season right now. It may be embracing a new normal that you just don't want to embrace. It may be embracing the new normal as a divorced single parent or just as a single parent. It's not where the situation would be in right now. Or you lost a loved one or a close friend. And that's been tremendously hard. Or you have a new health diagnosis. And it's not the kind of health diagnosis that you can treat and that it goes away. Like, it's a permanent health diagnosis. It's a change in your lifestyle, right? And so it's hard to embrace a limitation. It's just hard. And sometimes you don't have to. Sometimes it's just something you've tolerated. You don't need to tolerate. Like, you need to get a better job. And you just haven't done it. You're just afraid to do it. You need to have some conflict with someone, but you don't like conflict, and so you don't step into it. You just kind of take the abuse. You need to do the hard work. You know the hard work's coming. You've been putting it off. Just do it. Get it behind you. It's what you need to do. So sometimes you have choices, and you just need to pull the trigger, but sometimes you don't have choices. And if you don't have choices, then it's time to make peace with this limitation. This was Jeremiah's word of encouragement to the Israelites. It's how he was trying to encourage them. Embrace the limitations of a new land and new neighbors, because this is your new reality. It just is. But it doesn't have to be the end of you. It can be the beginning of you. It can be a new start, which leads to the next thing you can do to start over when you need to. And that is to create goals that motivate you to start over. Create these goals. After Jeremiah tells the Israelites, look, God has done this thing to you, so embrace your new normal. Then in verse 5, he says this. He says, build houses and settle down. Plant gardens and eat what they produce. Marry and have sons and daughters. Find wives for your sons and give daughters in marriage so that they too may have sons and daughters. Increase in numbers there. Do not decrease. Jeremiah says, you're in a new place and a new land, and it's time to start over with some new goals. Time to get some new goals going. Get focused. Time to move into action stage. You haven't done that yet. I'm going to move you into action stage. Get on with your life. What are you waiting for? Start to develop some consistency in your life again. These are the things you need to be doing, right? Your children need to fall in love, and they need to start families of their own. So help them do this. Don't hinder them from doing that. You know, when we moved to Kentucky to finish seminary, we knew it was only a year and a half long. Just a year and a half. We could have said, well, no use making friends, because we're not going to be here that long. So don't do that. No use joining a church. No use serving in a church or giving our tithes and offerings to a church, because we're broke and we're stretched. So time and money we need. So why would we do this? Why would we choose to do things when we know we're leaving soon? But what we did was we made close friends. One of my closest friends, I even visited him this week. He lives in Kansas City now. He became a missionary and went to India about the same time I was planting a church. And both of us had kind of similar results. And so we can sit down today and we can pick up on a conversation where we left off, whether it be like 6 months ago or 4 years ago is sometimes where we're picking up. We share our hardships and our joys because of that seed that I chose to plant during that turbulent time in my life. We were also, you know, we were in Kentucky. Kim and I joined a church not far from our house. We could walk to it from the hood. And Kim and I taught third grade Sunday school together. We taught Sunday school. And it was just for a season, but we decided we wanted to give back to that church that we were a part of, because that was who we were. That was our DNA, was to give back. So we did it. We gave financially to the church, even though initially we did not. I got to own that. right? And we didn't, because when I did the math, our income versus our school loans, we were not making anything. And so in my mind, I was kind of justified. I'm like, well, actually, I'm not making anything this year. But what I found was God supplied for us in amazing ways while we were there. He just kept blessing us. And so we felt convicted to give by faith because of our income that we were making. And so Kim and I agreed on these goals together while in Kentucky for a short amount of time, that we would go ahead and make friends, that we would serve, we would join a church and serve in our church, and we would give to that church. We would do all those things just like we were back home. And we knew people who went to seminary and didn't do any of those things. Like, they were literally of the just get it done mindset. Don't do anything else. But my question is, how is that living? How is that living when we do that to ourselves? It's like being unhappy with your current circumstances, so just gruel through it and get it done, and don't look at any other facet of life. Or live your life today while accepting your current limitations. You have some limitations, but you can still live life. And have some goals for yourself that are in line with a new start for the life that you want to start living today. The life that you want to have today. Jeremiah, he had to encourage the Israelites to not just give up on living, but to get some consistent goals with their new lives in Babylon. Like, have goals for yourself and for your children and for your families. Which is what I want for you to do today, too. That's what I want for you as your resident prophet, I guess. What goals do you need to develop today to move you towards the new life that you want to have, right? And what's coming to mind? Is something coming to mind? Write it down, right? You've got pens in front of you. Grab your paper. What goal just came to mind? What part of your brain just said, you know what, pastor's got a good point. We've wanted to live life this way, and we've kept putting it off. Stop putting it off. Write it down. Pray about it. Okay, so now that you've all written down that goal that came to mind for you, one last thing from Jeremiah to help us start over is to have a good attitude. Which you can imagine would be incredibly hard for the Israelites. Think about them for a moment. Think about where they're at. Their city destroyed, loved ones killed, dragged off to another land, country destroyed. Their very understanding of the God they served was decimated. God, where were you? Like, and they called God then Yahweh. Yahweh, you didn't protect us. You didn't save us. God, we lost. We lost, and our God lost to the Babylonians and to their gods. They had gods. And you better believe in those days, that was part of war. In their minds was God battling gods sometimes. And yet Jeremiah, in verse 7, he has the nerve to say to them this. He says, seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. This reminded me a lot of our opening song. Like, our opening song had all this in it. In essence, pray and be thankful for your enemy. Be thankful for your captors. And then the infamous verse, Jeremiah 29:11. I think you've heard this before maybe. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and future. And he's saying, really good things are in your future. Just be patient. Endure this. I love you. I haven't forgotten you. Live your life. I'm with you. And so the prophet Jeremiah is challenging them to be better than the situation they've been led into. To be better than the situation that they have been led into. Isn't that hard? Have you ever sensed that? Have you ever sensed, I can be better than this? But it's hard. We don't want to be. It's difficult. to pray for your enemies, not to curse them, not to curse God because something went wrong in your life, but to give thanks to God at all times, to know that he is with you. And so don't forget that he's with you. Church, a right attitude is so much a life. So much of it. And I get it. Like, it's hard sometimes. Life is hard. And there are things that happen in life that make us want to give up and to check out. You know, when we moved to Kentucky, you know, we did it so I could finish seminary. That was the big goal. Finish seminary so I could become an elder in the United Methodist Church. Once again, they won't let you. You got to have the great degree, in order to become an elder in the United Methodist Church. And so it's what I had to do. And friends, like, we had dreams, my wife and I, of what that would look like, right? Once I became an elder in the United Methodist Church, and the impact that would have on people and communities, type of relationships that we would build. And I would love to tell you all that we got back to Missouri, and all we've done for the last 15 years is just living the dream, right? Just living the dream. But friends, there were times where it got harder. It got harder, just a different kind of harder, just a new kind of harder, a harder I hadn't experienced before. And I'd love to tell you that I mastered a right attitude, right? It didn't get me because I got the right attitude, which allowed our family to conquer all the problems that we had and we faced. But I don't like to lie. I don't like to lie when I'm standing here. I don't like to lie when I'm standing just in front of one of you, right? I just don't like to do it. You know, this year, we had annual conference back in June, Missouri, United Methodist Annual Conference, our annual gathering of pastors and lay people. And I watched 11% of our churches, 20%, roughly 20% of United Methodists in Missouri leave the Methodist Church, leave United Methodism. This year, at annual conference, I said hi to people, peers that walked in, and then we voted on disaffiliations, and I watched those peers and friends walk out. People that I had worked with in churches, in bigger churches. And I watched them walk out, and they're not coming back. I mean, and they left with churches, and those churches aren't coming back. And I have to tell you, I lost some wind out of my sails at the beginning of June, and I'm just now recognizing how that has affected my attitude about a lot of things. This summer, I just felt a little different and have really not known fully why I have felt a little different. And so I need to hear and believe the prophet Jeremiah this morning. I need to remember his words, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future." I'm not an Israelite. I wasn't born around 600 BC. I didn't experience an amazing crisis where my people and land was destroyed and I was carried off. But I have experienced a sense of loss lately. I have felt loss watching something I've invested in since I was 21 years old experience loss, being a part of that. The hardest thing, I think, about a shift in our attitude is that it's hard to detect in ourselves sometimes. It's hard to know when it's happened. It's an increase in stress and anxiety and maybe sadness in your life, if you begin to sense that. It's a negativity that begins to become pervasive in your thoughts and in your conversations and in everything that maybe didn't used to be there. It's a sense of hopelessness that you have, that anything will ever actually get better, but that everything is just getting worse. And so new beginnings can happen in our lives more easily when we are able to name the fact that our attitude has in fact shifted. It has shifted. So if that's you this morning, I'd encourage you to confess that to someone, to just name it for what it is, to not overly judge yourself or judge others, to talk about the events that have happened in your life that have led you to this point of maybe hopelessness, and to step back into maybe the second point. Maybe you need to go back there and create some goals to recover a better attitude, right? What do you need right now to begin to recover a better attitude? And of course, remember the words of the prophet Jeremiah. Let his words come upon you this morning, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. I think maybe we all need to say that this morning. Maybe we all need to feel that come out of our mouths. Would you say that with me? For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. If you've struggled lately, then this was a good reminder that there's no better day to start over than this one. This is the day. This is the right time. And in order to do that, remember what we've talked about today. Accept some limitations in life, especially the ones you just can't change. Set goals that motivate you to live the life that God has called you into today, not tomorrow, today. And have a positive attitude, remembering that God is for you. He is for you. Friends, it's never too late to start over. Sometimes we just need a reminder of how to start afresh. We need some help. We need some direction on how and why we can do it. And so my prayer is that today you learn the how and why of the plan. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for today. And Mike 20. I'm going to try to pray again here. Heavenly Father, thank you for today, and we thank you for this opportunity, Lord, to get into your scripture, to get into the word, to see how other people have just kind of faced adversity and started fresh in life, started anew, in a time when they really didn't want to. And so, God, that's really who needs this message today, is there's some people they are starting over. They got it going, and they're like, yeah, this is good. This applies. Lord, the people that you really wanted to speak to on a deeper level are the folks that are in here that really didn't have any plans today of starting over, but who have been stuck. And they've been stuck in sadness or anxiousness or hopelessness. And you wanted to remind them that you are their God and that you are with them, you are for them, you have a future for them, and it's good. And so, Lord, for that individual, let your Holy Spirit now fall upon them. Let your Spirit embolden them to step forward in new ways starting today. For all of us, Lord, the power to start over is here, and it is present, and it is available. And, Lord, I receive it, and I pray that my church receives it. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen.